Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Well, happy Easter, Crossroads. Great to be with you today. I want you to think about a time that you were traveling on a back road and you got behind a significantly slower vehicle. And maybe you were in a bit of a rush. Maybe it's your tendency to hurry. Maybe you just enjoy going well above the speed limit, but you needed to pass. And to pass, you had to cross that line. And once in a while, you would just sort of tuck your way out there. You'd look to see if it was clear. Traffic was coming. You'd tuck your way back in. You are just waiting for an opportunity to cross that line, to nail the throttle and go passing by. Now, maybe you've been on the other side of that equation, too. Whenever I am towing my camper on back roads with no berm, I am trying my best just to hold the speed limit. And I can see in my mirrors, cars are continually just sort of edging their way out, looking for a clearing to pass me. And there are times that I want to shout, "It's clear! Cross that line! Go for it! This is your opportunity!" But there are times in life where there are lines that are meant to be crossed. Oh, one of the lines that most of us think about is that line of graduation, walking the stage, getting that diploma. It's that differentiation between adolescence and adulthood. Everything begins to change. It changes so much so that if you graduate from high school this June, and then you try to show up at that exact same school in the fall, you will likely be arrested and removed from the premises. There are just lines that are meant to be crossed, and then everything begins to change. There is no line that's more important. There's no line that you and I come to that holds so much than the line of faith and choosing where we are going to place our trust. A line of faith is a decision. It's a turning point. It changes the trajectory of our life for the here and now and for all of eternity. It's a decision that you and I have to make. And that foundational line is, where do you place your trust? Are you placing your trust in yourself or maybe this world? Or are you placing your trust in Jesus? And that's the decision that we all face. And it has huge consequences. Maybe you're placing your trust in yourself. I mean, because come on, you got it going on. You're looking good. You got skills. You got talent, man. Your personality just draws people in, and you are trusting in yourself to navigate this life. Maybe you're putting your trust in the world. Maybe you're placing your trust in a political party or a politician. Maybe you're placing your trust in your accumulated wealth. Maybe you're placing your trust in your job, your career, maybe your education. You're placing your trust in culture. It must know what's going on, so you follow culture. And you place your trust in one of those directions. Maybe you're placing your trust in your family. Maybe it's in your name. Maybe it's in your heritage. But we all have a choice in where we choose to place our trust. And whenever we make that decision to no longer place our trust in ourselves or in this world, but to cross that line and place our trust in Jesus, so many things begin to change. I think today, Easter is such a marker of that. Because if Easter, you know, you are simply placing your trust in yourself in this world, Easter might be a bit of tradition. Maybe it's going to be the ham. Maybe it's going to be the Easter egg hunt. It's the family gathering. Maybe you're just all about the peeps. That's what you're into. But when you've crossed the line, you've begun and you've put your trust in Jesus, Easter takes on a whole new meaning. Easter is all about celebrating the empty tomb. Easter is all about celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you cross that line and you place your trust in Jesus, things begin to change for both the here and now and for all of eternity. The line of faith, that line where we make a decision, a turning point of where to place our trust. It represents the most significant line that you will ever cross in your life. It has consequences for the here and now and for the other side of eternity. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the church in Corinth, he starts out, he begins to give this bit of a creed. And if you don't know what a creed is a brief, authoritative formula of religious belief. A creed is a carefully crafted, memorable statement used to ensure accurate transmission of belief. And scholars of the New Testament, Jesus followers, non-Jesus followers that study the New Testament, believe that the Apostle Paul is referencing a creed that has been around in the early church. It was about what they were about, is what they taught. It was all about the good news of Jesus. The Apostle Paul in chapter 15, he says, let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Paul goes back to the essentials of belief, what the early church had been practicing, what people like him, the disciples, other people were preaching and teaching about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But before he gets to the creed, have you ever noticed, before he gets to the creed, he makes room for doubt. Look at the next part of what he says. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. There were believers, there were followers of Jesus in the church in Corinth, and they were questioning. They were wondering, they were struggling, they were doubting. And Paul is assuring them of the foundation of what Jesus' followers believe, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what Easter is all about. And if you're sitting here today and you struggle and you wonder and sometimes you doubt, you know that there is room for you. This is a safe place for you. Apostle Paul doesn't say, oh, you got to get out of the church. You can't follow Jesus anymore. There's room for doubt. There's room for questioning. There's room for struggles. The very end of the gospel according to Matthew, and the very last verses of the gospel of Matthew, we find this situation. The 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Now, when they saw him, this is after the resurrection, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. People who had saw Jesus killed and crucified now saw him raised back to life. And still some of them doubted. And if you've never read those couple remaining verses of Matthew, Jesus doesn't condemn them. He doesn't push them to decide. He doesn't say, hey guys, sorry, you can't follow me anymore because you're doubting. Hey guys, sorry, you're no longer part of the way of Jesus. You can't be a part of the work. You can't continue the work that I'm doing. Jesus makes room for those that are doubt, but continues to invite them to follow. And Paul's quite clear. He says, I get it. You wonder, you question, you doubt. But please, Paul says, understand this, that without the resurrection of Jesus, we got nothing to celebrate. It's the foundation of all that we believe, of who we are. As a matter of fact, if you just continue down in 1 Corinthians 15, you'll see Paul making it clear how central the resurrection is. He says it like this in verse 14. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless, and all of your faith is useless, and we apostles would be lying about God. Without the resurrection of Jesus, that there'd be no Easter. There'd be no Christians. There'd be no church. There'd be nothing to celebrate. No empty tomb, no death defeated. But Paul isn't simply making room for doubts and questioning. Paul's firming them up in what the church believes, what they know. He's reminding them. Let's go back to where we left off in verse 3. Paul says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. Paul's reminding them of what the good news is all about. Paul's reminding them of why we celebrate Easter. To go back to our crossing the line when you place your trust in Jesus. Paul's saying, you give up your shame and your guilt for forgiveness. When you choose to cross that line and you have that turning point, that decision point to place your trust in Jesus, shame and guilt are no longer yours to be carried, to weigh you down, to hold you back. Eternal consequences of sin no longer have a mark or a hold on your life. You find forgiveness. And if you've been walking for Jesus, maybe it's just been weeks or maybe it's been decades, and shame and guilt is still running way too much space in your brain, and it's weighing down your soul, and it's holding you back. I just want you to know that's not the life that God ever intended for you to live. Maybe today's the day where you're just recommitting, once again, placing your trust in Jesus, and you are accepting his gift of forgiveness. Shame and guilt no longer define you. It no longer holds you back. It no longer weighs you down. Because, man, when we cross that line, forgiveness is ours. When we choose to follow Jesus, shame and guilt are no longer a part of our life. And Paul goes on. He wants to remind them of more things. In verse 4, he says, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. And then Paul goes on to list all the different people that saw Jesus. These are people that saw Jesus arrested, tortured, murdered, crucified, dead body, placed in a sealed tomb. And these are people that saw Jesus 3 days and later, alive, walking, death defeated. And because of that, everyone who places their trust in Jesus, go back to our formula. When you place your trust in Jesus, you are trading death for life. When you choose to follow Jesus, when you turn to Jesus and you place your trust in him as opposed to yourself or this world, the gift that he gives you is life. Death is defeated. You get life in its fullest for the here and now. You get life for all of eternity. So that creed that the Apostle Paul is giving us would sound a whole lot like this. Jesus died for our sins and was buried. He rose from the dead and was seen. Jesus died for our sins and was buried. He rose from the dead and was seen. And that was more than enough 2,000 years ago. And it is more than enough for today. And it will be more than enough for all the years to come. At the heart of Christianity, what we celebrate is the resurrection of Jesus. It is what Easter is all about. The resurrection of Jesus launched the church. It launched Christianity. Let me say it another way. Two of my favorite lines when it comes to Easter are these. On that very first Easter morning, when darkness still had its hold and dawn was about to break, the sun was about to rise, we find no one outside the tomb counting down backwards. 10, 9, 8. They didn't see it coming. They were hiding. They were in fear. They were locked away. My other favorite line of Easter is this one. Nobody expected nobody. Nobody expected nobody. Nobody saw it coming, even though Jesus was clear in his teaching. And Easter, the resurrection, the foundation of what we believe, launched the church, launched Christianity, is what we have been celebrating for over 2,000 years. And there's so much more to crossing that line of faith and putting our trust in Jesus as opposed to putting our trust in ourselves or in the world. And just let me give you two more. In Luke 15, Jesus gives a word picture of a lost son returning home. Lost and lonely, the son returns home. Let's join the story in verse 20. So the son returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, and filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, he embraced him, and he kissed him, and his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening, because we must celebrate for it with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. Let's go back to our equation. When you place your trust in Jesus, maybe like that son, you are feeling lost and alone. When you place your trust in Jesus, you are loved by the Heavenly Father. Perhaps like that son, you are feeling unworthy to be considered a child of God. When you place your trust in Jesus, you are found to be worthy. Lost and alone don't define you anymore. Loved and worthy are words that define who you are in Christ, the way your Heavenly Father sees you. And the party begins. One more thing that comes from placing our trust in Jesus. I think it's one of the things that maybe our world needs more now than perhaps ever before. Jesus speaking in John 14, he gives this promise. He says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart." Do you know anybody who needs that gift? Peace of mind and heart. "And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give." Do you get what Jesus is saying? You place your trust in yourself. You place your trust in the world. Peace will always be elusive. But when you cross that line, you make that decision point, that turning point, to place your trust in Jesus, it's a peace that comes from Jesus. So he says, don't be troubled or afraid. So back to our equation, crossing that line. When you place your trust in Jesus, you're giving up worry and fear. Doesn't mean that it doesn't come back and rent space in your brain. But when you place your trust in Jesus, that gets to be replaced by peace again and again. And peace begins to define your life, your heart, your mind, your soul, so much more than worry or fear ever does. So a life of faith is all about crossing a line. It's a decision. It's a turning point. It's placing your trust in Jesus, no longer placing your trust in yourself or the world around you, to turn towards Jesus as opposed to running away from Jesus. Now, today's a day to make that turning point, to put your trust in Jesus, or maybe to recommit to placing your trust in Jesus. On your connection card, there's a way you can respond online or in person. It says, "I'm placing my trust in Jesus. I'm making a decision to follow him. I accept his gift of life and love and forgiveness and peace and so much more." But how do you do that? What does that even begin to look like? Over and over and over throughout the Gospels, Jesus comes to individuals and he says these words, "Follow me." the invitation over and over from Jesus is, follow me. And if you read your way through the Gospels and you just start to mark and check all of these times where Jesus has someone to follow him, you have to imagine the individuals had more than a few questions. Well, what will that look like? What does that mean for my life? What about my career? What about my family? What about this? There could be dozens, if not hundreds of questions that you would want to ask when Jesus approaches and says, follow me. Jesus says, just follow me. You'll figure those things out along the way. Just follow me. And Jesus approaches people with their doubts and their questioning. He says, I get it, it's all right. With your doubts, with your questioning, with your wondering, follow me. Follow me. Those things will get worked out as you follow me. Jesus doesn't approach anybody and say, hey, I'm about to ask you a question. But before I ask you the question, I just need to make sure I know where you stand on these three key issues of faith. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. It's been the invitation 2,000 years ago and for the past 2,000 years. Place your trust in Jesus and follow him. Day by day, figuring things out, what it looks like to follow Jesus. And as you follow Jesus, it reshapes your character. It reshapes your priorities. It reshapes the way that you see the world and people around you. Another way to respond today is just with this question. There's some space below in your connection card. How can we best be praying for you? There are a number of us that just would love to pray for you by name this week. How can we best be praying for you? But wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, however it is that you're celebrating Easter, I want you to wrestle with that question of where are you really placing your trust? Is today a turning point to commit or recommit your life to Jesus, to choose to follow him, to accept all the good gifts that come your way when you make the decision to cross that most important line that you will ever face? I want to close now in a time of prayer, and I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to ask you just to repeat a prayer with me. I'll say a line, you say a line. I'll say a line, you say a line. And if you've been in a place in your life where you've placed your trust in Jesus, whether it happened 5 minutes ago or 5 decades ago, just invite you to repeat this prayer with me. Just close our eyes for a moment and repeat after me this prayer if it is what you believe. Jesus, I place my trust in you. I trust you to replace my shame and guilt with forgiveness, to replace death with life, to replace my feelings of being lost, alone, and unworthy. With the truth that I am loved and worthy, to replace my worry and fear with peace, I choose to follow you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.